Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise, give you glory. Thank you for this season. We trust, Lord, that it's a season of joy for everyone. We pray, Lord, even now as we gather together around your word, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that light will shine into our hearts this morning. Give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Nothing you haven't heard before, but I thought that I should encourage everyone this morning. I need this myself, and we all do from time to time. And the challenge as we go through the end of this year is believe. That's the challenge. Because there's so many great things that the Lord has promised. We're on the verge of many things, but we're going to have to believe. But let me just chat with us for a little bit this morning, you know, on, you know, how God meets our needs. There are many ways in which God meets our needs. You know, he can use natural means, and he can also use supernatural intervention. For natural means, which is something that, you know, we are all used to. Well, you know, we live in this natural world, so there's a lot of natural means that God can use to meet our needs. You know, today's lesson we're talking about is believe. And God will give miracles of supply. We have to exercise those sometimes faith beyond our means. So the lesson today is believe. Miracles of supply and faith beyond your means. Now, when God meets our needs through natural means, that can be God as well. It's not all the time that he has to use supernatural intervention to meet our needs. But sometimes he does, you know. But there are many things we do in life. You know, sometimes, you know, to pay our bills, you know, we when we were younger, we went to school and so forth, got trained, you grow up. You get a job, you work hard, you earn some money, you pay your bills, you raise children, you send your kids to school, your college, etc., from the college funds that you put together, and all of that. So, I mean, we do a lot of natural things, and people expect those who work for a living and get paid. Some people get paid every 2 weeks or every whatever it is, you know. You walk, you expect a paycheck. And so, you know, here in the United States, you know, most pay periods are like 2 weeks or whatever the pay period is. You put in your time, you expect a paycheck. It's routine. You know, if that doesn't happen like that, if you walk and you don't get a paycheck, that's a violation, you know, so of labor laws. So we think, and we know that, look, I'm expecting a paycheck. You can plan around that, you know, because that's the way it is. And if your paycheck is not meeting your needs, then you think, well, maybe I got to get another job and pay me more, or get a second job and add it to this one so that I can, you know, get more money. I mean, these are natural things we do. And God uses those things, you know, to meet our needs. And especially when we are, you know, hardworking. Proverbs 22 and 29, you know, tells us about a hardworking person. When you are hardworking, which the Bible calls being diligent in your business or your ways, well, something good will eventually come out of that. You know, and say, seest thou a man Proverbs 22 and 29, that is diligent in his business, well, he shall stand before kings, shall not stand before men. So God can give us the ability to be diligent. And, you know, we can also get ahead through diligence. We work hard. Enough time passes, you know, things will begin to fall into place. And that, you know, that's normal. And even the scripture tells us to work hard while we are younger, because the days of evil may come. Jesus said it, you know, I must walk while it is day. The night is coming when no man can walk. And, you know, those night hours, when you get older, you may not be able to do the things that you can do in your youth. Lamentation 3 and 27 tells us, you know, it is good, you know, that a person should bear the yoke while they're in their youth. You know, that means, the yoke means you do whatever it takes. You put yourself through a lot of things, you know, and you go to school, you do this, you do that. You work hard, you know, and so on. You do that in your youth. That's very good. And God can use all of that, you know, so, and he does for the most part, you know, and when you work hard, there's a blessing. Here's what it says in Ecclesiastes 3 and 13. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God, you know, so when we work hard, we expect to enjoy. I mean, these are natural means that God uses. Well, also, you know, sometimes we get sick. There are even natural means that God can use for that. When you get sick, well, you take some medicine, you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you get some rest, you know, whatever is needed. And your body can be rejuvenated, you know, through some of these natural means. Or even sometimes you have to correct your diet. You have to do this, you have to do that. You know, these are natural means that God can use to, you know, meet our needs. We've talked about needs of finances. We've talked about needs of healing and so on and so forth. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, God made a promise here. You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, this is the way that the Apostle Paul puts it out. Says, look, my God shall supply your needs. Well, what does that mean? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's talk about that for a minute. Now, God can supply our needs, like I said, through these means that I've talked about. He can also, you know, supply your needs some other ways, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But this scripture tells us he will meet your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, not according to your, this one is going beyond your means now. Your natural means is when you do all those things that I mentioned before. And this one's going beyond your natural means now, because it doesn't say that God will supply your need according to your labor. It doesn't say that God will, you know, you'll get a promotion according to your education. It doesn't say that here. It doesn't say that God will supply your needs according to your job that you have or the job that you don't have. He didn't say any of things. What he says here is that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, unless his glory and his riches have diminished or been depleted, then that means if this scripture is working for you or for me or in my life, we can have what I call continuous supply. Hallelujah. You know, so that's the way of God walking in the supernatural that I want to talk about for just a bit. Now, you know, sometimes when we look at the situation at hand, we may be able to scramble and meet the needs. And sometimes you may not be able to, you may scramble, but still be not able to meet the needs. And when you have done everything you can, and you still can't, you know, make ends meet, or you are still short, then what? You know, so here is what, where this lesson then kicks in. We've got to believe. That's right. You got to have faith beyond your means. And God can bring supply. Now, you know, that you, from sources that you may not understand and you may not even know. That's what makes him God. That's why we talked about it yesterday or the other day, that his ways are not our ways. You know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. And the way that you're thinking that he's going to do it may not be the way that he would do it. He may do it a different, a totally different way. And we'll look at some examples in a minute. But we don't want us, you and me, let's not limit God. You know, God is able to do, the scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God's able to do more than we ask or think. But that's all according to the power that works in you. This power comes by from this understanding of what I'm sharing today. You know, that there is a way that God can work and supply your needs that may transcend your natural means. And natural means are good. God uses that all the time. But he has the ability to supply needs even beyond the natural. And so we're going to take a look at some of the examples, which we all know. I'm just calling it out here in this lesson. God can even take, something small and increase it and multiply it for continuous supply as long as the need exists. We see many stories like that in the Bible. And it says a few people in the Bible that understood that God is able to do this. We covered some stories the other day when we were talking about, you know, his ways higher than our ways. We saw how that Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14:6 said, look, God can save not by many or by few. Doesn't matter. It makes the Lord no difference. By many or by few. And we see that. By many may be by your means. I mean, if your army is bigger and larger and stronger than your enemy, then by your natural means, you expect to win the battle. If you are stronger naturally than your opponent, then you expect to win naturally. If you are bigger, you know, and, you know, more experienced, then you expect to win naturally. So those are natural things. But you may be smaller and still win. We've seen that story many times in the Bible. David was a lot smaller than Goliath, but yet he won. We saw that, you know, even sometimes God will show us this story. I mean, God will teach us this lesson, similar that he did in the lesson of Gideon's army. We covered that just the other day. They were too many, started out with 32,000. God wanted to show them that, look, I can do this. I don't want you to think that it's by your power. So he pruned them down to 300. We covered that the other day. You know, we've seen, you know, a couple other things that I want to read to us today that can help us to get our faith in the right direction. There is a story of Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And I want to just read one verse to us. This is one that I haven't read recently. So let me read this to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. You know, now, there was a situation. There's always situation. There was always situation with Judah and Israel and so forth. you know, Judah was always having problems against their, you know, enemies and so forth. We're always coming out against them. In this particular case, you know, we're told that there was a host of 1,000,000, that's a million, that came up against them, 300 chariots and so forth. And Asa was king at the time, would go out against this person that had 300 chariots. And his own company and his own army was a whole lot smaller. But here is what he said, or here's what was said about him. In 2 Chronicles 14 and 11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help with many, whether I be many, just like, you know, Jonathan said, whether I be many or whether it be few. You can help with many, that's natural means. You can help with them that have no power, that's supernatural intervention. You know, either way, you know, he said, God can help us. So now he turned to God and said, look, I know that with our natural strength, you can do it. But even when we are not able to detach, you can still help us. You know, that's help beyond your means. Now, so he said, O Lord, our God, we rest on thee. And in thy name, we go up against this multitude. You know, O Lord, our God, he said, well, let not man prevail against us. You know, so he understood this, that God is able to help him, you know, once he puts his trust in the Lord, whether they are outnumbered or not. You know, so, you know, that's a great lesson to see and understand that sometimes some of these kings would understand that. Jehoshaphat was made to understand that in 2 Chronicles 20 as well. I'm not going to read his story because we've talked about it multiple times in this room. But he was made to understand that, you know, the children of Ammon, you know, Moab and Mount Seir that came up against them in, you know, hundreds of thousands and great multitudes, that their own limited number, you know, they were outnumbered. But God said, the Lord will fight for you. Now, in their own case as well, it was a supernatural intervention. Same story with Hezekiah versus Sennacherib. You know, it was a supernatural intervention. We've talked about these stories multiple times. I refer to them now, you know, just so we will remember that the same principle was working in all of these cases. The same principle was working, you know, in Isaiah, you know, chapter 36, you can read, you know, the story of Rabshakeh and Sennacherib and all of that, how they came up against them and what these people said. They trusted in the Lord, Hezekiah did, for their salvation. You know, they were not entirely depending upon their strength, you know, and the Lord came through for them. Now, so I say all of these to show us that God can save us. God can meet our needs, whether it be through natural means, or even supernatural intervention. So let's keep that in mind. Now, our eyes are upon you is a statement that we need to recognize and be able also to say. Just like this story in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. I want to bring that part out quickly. You know the story, but I want to bring out this 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. It is an important thing for you to shift your focus to the Lord. You know, because don't look at your natural means, but keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, so in this story of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that came up against them, which story we know. And but the only verse I want to bring out in this story is verse 12 of what Jehoshaphat, you know, and the rest of them actually started to trust the Lord and believe. And he said, you know, that's what they said. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. So in their natural means, they can't do it. They just can't do it. They are completely outnumbered, you know. And he said, neither do we know what to do. So I want to dwell on this for just a minute. When you are overwhelmed, when you don't know what to do, as this man said, he said, look, we are overwhelmed. We don't know what to do, you know. But what did he do? What was his, resort to doing? What was his resolve in this situation? Well, you read the rest of the verse. He says, you know, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, that's the secret. You know, he was overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. But he said, our eyes are upon you. Now, that's the beginning of your miracle and the beginning of your supernatural intervention. When you turn away from your own means and look unto the Lord. Now, this man, he saw, he has analyzed the situation. Even Jesus himself said it. He said, look, count the cost when you're about to go to war. Whether with 10,000, you can go up against someone that has 100,000. And if you can't, then better make peace because they might wipe you out. You know, count the cost, you know, when you're about to build a house. And so Jesus told these lessons, you know. So he said here, they've looked at it completely outnumbered, but they trusted in the Lord. So the two things I want to point out from this verse, when our situations like yours may not be going up against armies and so forth, you know, but in your wherever life, the situation you are at, there may be a situation that you are completely overwhelmed. I mean, you are drowning in bills. You know, unexpected expenses came up that you can't meet. Completely, you know, I mean, completely oversized for your means. You know, this thing that just happened, come upon you, you can't make ends meet. Your salary can't cope. Even you get a second job, it can't cope. I mean, you don't know what to do. Well, do what Jehoshaphat did here. Say to the Lord, that Lord, I don't know what to do. I am overwhelmed, but my eyes are upon you. And when you put your eyes upon the Lord, this is what actually led to the Lord giving them a word of exhortation, you know, from this Jehaziel, you know, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Because this man was looking to the Lord for solution, was looking to the Lord for an answer. And the Lord answered back and said, don't worry about it. You know, the Lord is going to take care of you. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Because this time around, the Lord's going to fight for you. Now, you know, like I said, yours may not be fighting in a physical battle with armies and swords and things like that. But same thing. We're always in a fight. One kind of thing or the other. So whatever it is that we are facing, that we don't understand what to do, we are overwhelmed. It may be sickness. You've tried everything. You've done the natural means. You've taken the medicine. You've gone to the doctors. You know, you've done the tests that they prescribed and so forth. But still, you know, things are not better. There was a woman. The Bible said that, you know, she had the issue of blood. She spent all her living on doctors for 12 years and nothing improved. You know, and you know, so, but she did try. She did all that she could. She went to the doctors. She did all of these and so forth. Well, you know, we've done all of that, but still, you know, no result that is favorable. Well, now you got to go beyond your means. You got to go beyond the doctor. You got to go beyond the medicine. You got to go beyond all of that now, because you tried all of that and it still didn't work. So then what? Well, then you turn your eyes to the Lord and say, I don't know what to do in this situation, but my eyes are upon you. Then, you know, the Lord will answer in kind, because God has shown us examples here in the Word of God, you know, that when people look unto him like that, he answers them back. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a, you know, there are a few other stories I want to point out here that can illustrate this point of supernatural supply, you know, when things are beyond our means. Two or three quick stories that I will point out, which you have heard before, but I just want to bring them out along with this lesson. The widow at Zarephath, whom the Lord sent Elijah to, in 1 Kings chapter 17, you can read the story from verse 7 to about verse 16. You know, her means that she had was good enough for one last meal. That's it. She was going to gather a couple of sticks and go make some fire and bake what she thought was the last meal. Bake bread, because she had this little flour left and some small oil. And she's going to bake this thing, and she and her son were going to eat it and die, because the famine had been so hard and harsh in the land for over 3 years, 3.5 years, nothing. And everything had just vanished, their supplies and everything. And she was a widow. Her husband, the breadwinner, was gone. They had nothing going for them. And so within her means, she still had a way for one last meal. You know, she knew that she could do one last, I still do this. That's her natural means. I've got this little, you know, flour left. I've got this little oil left. I can make some fire and bake some bread and we will eat it. I mean, we still got this. But after this, we will die. Because that's the extent of her natural means. You know, but the word of the Lord, glory to God, through the prophet said, nobody is dying today. Now, God is going to step into that situation and change the story from the natural means to supernatural supply. And this is going to be faith beyond. The woman had to believe. You know, Elijah had to give her the word of God. And she had to believe, because he said, look, go do as you said. It's okay. You know, but do this first. You know, so now you have to believe the word of God. You got to believe, you know, it is the anointing that you believe that can work for you. If I'm out here teaching these things every day and declaring, making these declarations and so forth, if you believe, it'll work for you. If you don't, it may not work. You know, so the same thing everywhere. Your local church is the same thing. You know, if a person of God comes out and makes a declaration and so forth, you know, by the Spirit of the Lord, if you believe it, it'll work for you. And you have to believe that anointing. You have to know and trust it. And then you trust the source where it came from, the Lord. You believe with, you know, the word. And then mixed with faith, then it works. If you don't, it's not going to work. So this woman had to believe what Elijah was saying for it to work. And it did. And the next thing you know, the last meal became a meal for many days. You know, and it didn't run out. It was continuous. Every day, what she thought was good enough for only one last meal, they had perhaps 3 square meals out of that. For days, the Lord sustained them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Likewise, the widow that came to Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, first 7 verses, same thing. She also was a widow. Her husband was gone. You know, nobody to, you know, bring in, you know, income and so forth. And now they can't pay their bills. The creditors are now coming to take her children. You know, her natural means of supply was completely depleted. Maybe her husband left her some savings. You know, maybe all the stuff that they've been doing, scrambling on their own And they tried everything. But now they are several months behind. And, you know, they're going to come and take their house and even take her children for, you know, a bondman to pay for the bills. You know, all these things. She cried unto the prophet. And, you know, same kind of thing. What do you have? I don't have anything in the house. Everything is gone. We sold everything and so forth. We're just down to this one little last pot of oil. And natural means was this oil. She didn't even know what to do. What can you do with oil? You can't do anything with just one pot of oil. It's not even good enough. There's no flour to bake it with. There's nothing to do with. So, I mean, in her mind, she's down and out. Because her natural means cannot meet the situation. But here comes the word of the Lord. Glory to God. And the word of the Lord said, well, you know, do this and do that. Give her some strategy. And next thing you know, my goodness, continuous supply. She was kept pouring that oil out until there was no more vessel. And that's when the oil stayed, you know. I mean, on and on and on and on. I mean, these stories that you've heard in different light, I'm bringing the same stories in a different light now. It's not, there's not new stories here. It's the same thing. The same story in Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. You've heard the story. I tell it all the time. I told you just maybe yesterday or the other day, you know, but the natural means in that particular case was just 2 loaves and 5 fishes. A small boy's lunch. It was a natural means. That thing can feed one person. It was a small mouth that he was supposed to feed. But, you know, and that's why the disciples said, look, we look around. I mean, there's thousands of people here. What are we going to do? Okay, you know, let's check how much money do we have. Well, maybe Judas says, well, we have 200 pence in the bag. Say, well, okay. I mean, how much can that buy? Well, you know, we don't know how, you know, with all these people. You know, so in their natural mind, they can't even do it. You know, say, look, even if we were to go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, we can't still feed these people, you know. And so they're way, way over their heads in this thing, you know. So they got to feed, because Jesus said, feed them. Their own mind was just send them away because we can't do it. But Jesus said, feed them. How are we going to do it? You know, we don't have the means to do it. You know, and that's the thing with us. You know, you don't have the means to pay your bills. You don't have the means to do whatever it is to make ends meet currently. On and on and on and on. You know, but the Lord, He can step in and change all of that in a moment of time. Praise the Lord. He can do it too. And He did. So you know that story. Let me read a few other things to you. In Psalm 78, I want to read a couple of verses to you of how God supernaturally, that's right, supernatural intervention beyond their means, you know, all the things that, you know, God was doing for them. You read many things in that, you know, chapter. How that God took care of them, you know, wherever they went, multiple miracles and things like that, you know, how God even supplied their needs, you know, and how God made them to survive even when they couldn't survive. But yet, unfortunately, they continued to doubt God. They continued to provoke the Lord unto anger. And so, you know, God was angry with them. Now, when they were hungry, God fed them. When they asked for flesh, He gave it to them. Whatever they did, the Bible said they ate angels' food, you know, and so forth. These were things that they did. They couldn't do it on their own. They had no food in the wilderness, but God supplied them. But they tempted the Lord by not keeping on believing. The Bible says they saw his wonders, but they forgot his works. You know, now that's not something, that's not a place where we want to be. When you've seen the wonders of the Lord, but you forget his works. Well, the children of Israel were prone to doing that. You can read in Psalm 78 and verse 11. They forgot his works, even though they saw his wonders. You know, the marvelous things that he had done and all the things and so forth. You know, but they continue to provoke the Lord because they would not believe. You know, they asked for meat, he gave it to them. They asked for this, he gave it to them. That was, you know, supply, you know, that he gave them. I mean, he brought them out also even from Egypt with silver and gold. And there was no one feeble, not even their shoes, clothes, and things like that did not wear. You know, I mean, God did incredible things. But yet, unfortunately, they kept on doubting God. They would not believe to the end. You know, now, in Psalm 105, same thing that the Lord would do for them. You know, he brought them out with silver and gold. He did all of these things. You know, things that they did not even have. He gave it to them overnight. Supplied their needs. But what did they do? They still doubted the Lord. Now, God is able to do and supply our needs. But you must believe. And believe not just for one. Believe for the next. And believe for the next. And believe for the next. Well, that was the problem with these people. They did not always believe for the next. You know, after they saw the miracles, they didn't believe for the next. You know, and that's not good. Psalm 105, verses 37 says that God brought them forth with silver and gold. Not even one feeble person among their tribes. He kept them. He did all these things for them. But did they continue to believe? No. We want to make sure that that's not our case. You know, let's believe God. You know, let's believe God. God can take care of us even when we run out of our own natural means. You know, in the wilderness, there was no way out for them. You know, Moses talking about it in Deuteronomy 29, he told them, look, when you went through the wilderness for 40 years, Deuteronomy 29 verses 5 and 6, you know, you went through the clothes, your clothes did not even wear out. Your shoes did not wear out. You know, God supplied your needs. I mean, these were things that they couldn't do. They had no means of doing these things in the wilderness. Yet God did it for them. But time and time again, unfortunately, these people did not believe God. 40 years, we're told, Deuteronomy 29 and 5. You know, the clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have the means to buy new clothes. Even if they did, where would they find clothes in the wilderness? You know, they didn't have the means to buy new shoes. Even if they did, there was no shoe makers or shoe companies in the wilderness. And God made sure that their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wax old. You know, God gave them food and everything. It was means beyond their supply. But from time to time, they forgot. Let that not be our portion. You know, let us always remember the goodness of the Lord. Now, let's believe the Lord all the time, and let's not sell the Lord short. There's a story, it's a kind of a funny allegory of how it came out in 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to just read something quickly. 2 Kings chapter 13. You know, look at verse 14. When Elisha was sick, you know, and, you know, the king of Israel, and they were always fighting with Syria and all these things. When Elisha told the man, take out your arrows and shoot and so forth, and the man only shot three times, and the man of God was angry with him that, why did you stop at three? Well, you could have continued six, seven, or even more, five, six, or more. And he said, well, because you stopped at three, you're only going to have three victories. And then after that, you know, you should have vanquished them if you kept on believing. You know, the lesson there, in a roundabout way, is for us, look, when God says, gives you the go ahead, don't stop believing. Why stop at three? Well, you can have five, six, or seven. You know, keep on believing God, and you'll see his victories in so many ways. The continuous supply and God's intervention is necessary for us in the days ahead. You know, and I'll be talking more on this Believe series as we go up through next year. You're going to need it. And we're going to bring a constant reminder as well, so that we don't forget. Now, here's how God will supply your needs. Let's read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what the Lord says. The Lord said, look, the Lord is able to give a seed to the sower. That's 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. And he's able to multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So you sow a few grain, and the Lord will multiply it to bring a great harvest of corn and things like that. You know, the Lord is, he has the ability, you know, to supply our needs. But our eyes must be upon him. Listen to verse 8. Of the same 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you always, now that's all grace, and that's always having all sufficiency in all things. How many times are you going to use the word all in just a short sentence? You know, God's able to make all grace, that's number one, all, you know, abound towards you, so that you always having all sufficiency, that's number two, in all things, you are going to every good work, that's in all good work, that's another all. I mean, God is able to do this, but you have to trust him when you are not able to meet God, I mean, to meet your needs on your own. Now, that's why Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples how to pray, one of the things he taught was, give us this day our daily bread. You know, you got to trust the Lord every day. Not 1 year's supply, so we quit trusting the Lord for a whole year. You know, you got to trust the Lord for every day. Every day, you got to trust the Lord. Glory to God. And he can do it, you know. Now, in the Psalm, in the book of Psalm 127, this is another area that I love to read. Except the Lord build a house, the labor in vain that build it. That means, well, your labor is good, but if the blessing of the Lord is not upon it, it's not going to be sufficient. And so forth. Vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows. I've talked about this before. I mean, you, in order to try to make ends meet, you have to get up real early, and you have to work two or three jobs. You have to stay up late, and all of this. And at the end, it's still like bread of sorrows. You know, you still can't do it. You still can't make ends meet. Well, scripture say that's all vain. You can trust in the Lord. You should do all you can. You never fold your arms and say, just sit down and say, the Lord's going to do this. The Lord uses those natural means as well. But what I'm talking about today is, you know, even when the natural means are not sufficient. You know, and, you know, a little word of wisdom is that even those natural means, it is God that gives us the ability to do even those natural things. You know, God has put some things in play, you know, that, look, you sow a seed in the ground, you expect it to bring forth some fruits. That's just the way that God ordained these things. You walk, you expect to get, you know, a paycheck. Yeah, these are just natural things, and we should take advantage of those things. And I personally, in my life, by the grace of God, I've taken advantage of those things. I've walked for many years, and I'm still walking, and I'm getting a paycheck, you know, and so forth. You know, but when I need a real miracle, paycheck may not be enough. A paycheck may be good, you know, so that you lack nothing. And, but, you know, I mean, if your paycheck was $1,000 and all of a sudden you had, you know, something that come upon you for $50,000, how in the world are you going to do it? That means it will take you 50 months if you have to wait for that $1,000, you know, to do it. You know, that's a long time. But, you know, if you turn your eyes to the Lord, never mind how he's going to do it, because his ways are not your ways. And his thoughts are not your thoughts. And he has a million different ways that he can bring something to pass that we don't know about. But you must believe. Do you believe? And that's my challenge to us this morning. Do you believe? In fact, Jesus asked Martha, "Believest thou this? Do you believe what I'm saying to you?" And sometimes people believe, sometimes they don't. Martha actually did not quite understand. She was trying to believe, but she didn't quite understand. But Jesus said, "Well, your brother will rise again." And do you believe that, you know, anyone who's living, I mean, anyone who's dead and believes in me will rise again? And anyone living and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she tried to wrap her mind around that, but she couldn't believe it. I mean, she struggled with it, you know, but she said, "Well, you know, I know that my brother will rise in the resurrection." But Jesus wasn't talking about that. You know, so, you know, that's why Jesus had to say, "Look, do you believe this?" You know, and you know, some of you, anyone who's listening to my faith specs at, you know, the Principles of the Oracles of God series and our Faith Lab and all of that, you'll know how we put it out that, you know, we most of the time subconsciously as believers, we know and understand, you know, that God is able to do all things, you know, naturally. That's part of the culture of being a Christian or a believer. But many times when the rubber really meets the road, we don't believe. We're called believers, but do we actually believe for this one thing? You know, yeah, we know that God can do and supply all our needs. But when you have a need that your natural means cannot meet, can you believe God for the moment? That's what the question of believest thou this means. Yeah, we know you believe all the other things. You believe in the resurrection of the dead. You believe that your brother will come out of the grave. You believe all that stuff. But do you believe this right now? That's embracing it for the moment. You know, so, yeah, God is able to help you with your job, help you make connections. Those are God, I mean, acts in your life. Connections, divine appointments, divine intervention by coming into your natural world. God can do that too. But then sometimes when you've done all that and you still fall short, then you got to do what Jehoshaphat did and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." You know, so you've got to come to the point where you say, "Well, I, you know, right now I've tried everything, but yeah, and I'm willing to try, but, you know, I got to believe God." You know, so that's my exhortation to us today. When you try, and sometimes we're relying upon sources you know, other than from God direct. And those sources are still from God. You know, when you get a good job, that's from God. You know, God's the one that gave you the ability to get that job. Maybe to pass the interview or maybe give you the skills for it or whatever. It came from God. You know, but sometimes we forget and we just look to that thing as the source. You look to that paycheck, you know, and so forth, you know. And that's why, sadly, you know, people, you know, make a lot of mistakes in this country. And enough time passes, they lose a lot of things because, you know, they just built everything on paycheck. And when their paycheck is not there, they're going to lose everything. You know, many people do. Sometimes people even end up homeless, you know, when they can't meet their needs, you know. So we must believe. The key word today is believe. God is able to supply your needs beyond your natural means. He can do it. He can use your natural means, and most of the time that's what he does. But after you've done everything, you've tried what you can, you're not lazy. God doesn't like lazy people. There was a man that was lazy, you know, buried his talent. You know, he couldn't do anything with it. He was lazy, you know, and he couldn't do anything. And Jesus didn't like that. God doesn't like lazy people, you know. In fact, he told a story. He went around in Matthew 20. He saw the people standing around lazy. He said, "Why are you standing here doing nothing?" I said, "Well, because no man has hired you. Hired us." And Jesus said, "Well, okay, fine. You know, then go in and walk." God doesn't like lazy people. You know, just be lazy and so forth. No. You got to work. Jesus himself said, "I must work while it is day." You know, so we should never be lazy, just sitting around waiting for a miracle. No. You should get up and be doing all you can. You know, because God may do the doing part, the natural part, may be how God wants to meet your needs. So we're not knocking that. That's perfect. I do that all the time. You know, I'm a person that's always worked hard all my life. Till this day, I'm still doing it. But I also understand that there are times that, you know, my faith has to kick in beyond all of that. Most of the time, I don't worry about it because I know there's a paycheck coming. I could cover that, so I don't, you know, even need to worry about it. But what if the paycheck can't cover it? You know, I mean, for years, I may not pray about supply because, you know, I know there's a paycheck coming. There's income coming from here. There's income coming from there. It's going to meet the needs. Well, God will create a situation where you got to go beyond that. You can't just rely on your income, you know. So you got to trust God for your daily supply. And then when a situation comes, all of a sudden something that income cannot cover, then what are you going to do? So your eyes must turn to the Lord in that situation. Yeah. So that's my lesson today. I hope it's simple enough that we may understand it. We're going to need it in the days ahead, even for the Emerge series. The things that God is going to show you, you won't be able to comprehend that you can even do it. You know, you will say, "Well, I can't do that." You know, but God wants you to trust in him. You got to believe. You know, don't let your mind say, "I can't do that." The moment you say, "I can't do that," you are not sanctifying the word of promise. And God promised you a thing, you have to sanctify that word in your heart, with your actions, with your mind, with your speech, everything. Sanctify that word daily. And say, "I can do it because God said so." Even when it doesn't look like it, you know, giants and everything on that all over the way. And natural eye would make you look like grasshoppers before the giants and everything. But you got to come out and say, "We can do it. Let's go up at once. We can do this thing." Because, you know, with them is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord God of hosts. You know, it can't be, you know, depend on your arm or flesh. You got to depend on the Lord. Psalm 44 and verse 3. I love these verses. So I want to throw this in before I close. You know, always never forget. Famous verse. And I've quoted it many times along these subjects. But never forget. But they got not the land in possession by their own sword. You know, that's their natural means. You know, they, you know, some of them, you know, took up arms, sword and spears and go out against their enemies. You can do that. That's natural. You know, you want to fight. You know, they got swords. You pick up swords as well. They got sticks. You pick up sticks. They got whatever you pick up and you engage, you know. But the Bible says here that God didn't, that was not how God gave it to them. Yes, they did those things. Yes, they had to engage. Yes, they had to get in the fight. But that's not what got them the victory. You know, it wasn't their own arm that saved them, but the right hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. And thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. This favor of God will show you, give you understanding of how to expect miracles beyond your means. But you must believe. That's what the lesson is for today. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pray over the room. I pray that, you know, God gave you understanding concerning these things. And over the next several days or weeks, I'm going to be challenging people on belief. I might do a mini series that I will call Believe. And every day, come down here and hammer it down on people's minds until it becomes second nature for you to be walking in believing. And, you know, you got to challenge everybody. Challenge yourself and say, believe. You got to believe, you know, because it is so powerful when you believe. You know, by faith, if you believe, the scripture says, there shall nothing be impossible to you. You know, all things, Jesus said, are possible to him that believes. I mean, that's how powerful, you know, believing the Lord is. If you can only believe, and Jesus said many things, according to your faith, be it unto you. I mean, he always said things like that, you know. And if you believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe. So that's the key word today. Can you believe? Well, if you can believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. I'm going to underscore this lesson with that last verse. If you can believe, that's the key word. All things are possible to him that believe. Even beyond your means, you got to believe. And God says all things are possible. Father, I thank you for this short exhortation on believing. Hallelujah. And we pray that everyone will be encouraged to believe. For God's supernatural intervention, even beyond our natural means. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and the grace to do what we can do in the natural. We do all we can. See us as a man diligent in his business. Make us, Lord, to be diligent, roll up our sleeves, get in the trenches, do all we can naturally. But then, Lord, when we are faced with situations that way beyond us, that we may look to the Lord. And the Lord wants me to tell you, this has just dropped into my spirit now, real prosperity does not come from, you know, this toil. Every day we toil, we labor, we, you know, wake up early, we sleep late, we eat the bread of affliction. You know, that's toil. The blessing of the Lord, you will come beyond that. You will do all of that, you know, for natural means. God wants to see that you are doing that. And then you must believe that God can supply your needs even beyond that. You know, for to your needs to be met through your paycheck alone would not be a real blessing. You know, unbelievers get that as well. Anybody can walk and get a paycheck. But for God to meet your needs when your paycheck cannot even do it, that will be a supernatural intervention. How he will do it, don't worry about it. Leave that up to him. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray that your people have the understanding of these things. And we give you, the Lord, all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.